And so we're just going to continue on. We won't dismiss the children this evening. And I want to talk a little bit about baptism. As you can see to my left, your right, we've actually recovered the Ark of the Covenant. And we discovered its New Testament use for baptisms. Well, we have a baptismal here that is Discovery Community Churches, and they are so kind to open this up for us to be able to enjoy in a service together. In the short life of this church this evening, we get the privilege of hearing of God's grace in the lives of a few individuals through the waters of baptism, and we get to rejoice in the launching of formal church membership here at Gilbert Bible Church. And I want to turn your attention as we prepare for these things to Matthew chapter 28. So if you have your Bible handy, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Brian Twombly preached on this passage recently. Our dear friend who is going to be going to Papua New Guinea as a missionary, and he preached and did such a wonderful job. And so this passage should be fresh on our minds. And this passage that we're going to look at is what's known as the Great Commission. And this is some of Jesus' final words and instruction for his disciples before he ascends into heaven. And in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" The instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples is instruction for us today, to make disciples and to go about this by going and baptizing and instructing or teaching. And Jesus' promise to the disciples is a promise for us today when he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And what a wonderful comfort and reality that is for his church. This commission, this great commission, it extends to us today. We are to be about this work. And today at Gilbert Bible Church, we are to be about this work. We are called to this end, to see disciples made, to go to the ends of the earth and to baptize and to instruct, to teach. And a true disciple of Jesus is someone who is committed to learning from Jesus, who has Jesus as their Savior, who has Jesus as their Lord, who has Jesus as their Master. This one loves Jesus, is resolved to follow Jesus above all, entrusting themselves to the work of Christ on the cross as the only means of salvation for their sins. As Jesus said, he is the way and the truth and the life, and no one gets to the Father but through him. He is the only means of salvation for our sins and our offenses against a holy God. And it is one who, in light of this immeasurable grace, resolves to live for Christ with all that is in them, who has been redeemed by his saving work. Well, how does one learn Christ? How is one instructed in this way? How does one become a disciple of Jesus? God, in his sovereign wisdom, has chosen the means of using his perfect gospel message being proclaimed by imperfect vessels as the means of bringing his children into fellowship with him. God has commissioned his followers to proclaim this message, to share this message to the unbelieving world, and God uses this to make disciples who then are to make disciples who make disciples and make disciples to the ends of the earth. And those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ here this evening are the product of faithful witnesses making disciples, making disciples, making disciples, making disciples. At some point, we came in contact with the truth of the gospel, and God saved us. Here this evening, we get to hear from a few who have been transformed by Jesus. They are now his disciples, and they get to publicly proclaim what God has done through the gospel in their lives. In this, they declare their thankfulness to Christ, their devotion to Christ, their loyalty to him, and their dependence upon him in this life. they also get to declare their identification with his people through the waters of baptism as well. And so through the waters of baptism, you both get to proclaim your identification with Christ, being saved by his grace alone, and your reconciliation, being reconciled to him, and the reality that you have been reconciled into his bride, the church. We'll get to hear the testimony of God's grace in the lives of Andrew as baptized in his pool at the end of September. These are wonderful testimonies of God's grace. And I want to make sure that we understand what is taking place in the baptisms that we're about to observe. Water baptism is instructed from Scripture for the believer to do in response to the salvation that they have received from God. What they have received in Christ. It is not an action that accomplishes something for them pertaining to activating their salvation. It doesn't activate or initiate their salvation. It is rather a picture. It's a response. It's an outward profession of an inward reality that has taken place already through the grace of God. It's an expression of obedience and an outward testimony of one who has already been born again by the saving work of Jesus. And it demonstrates outwardly as a picture what has happened to the one who has already been made alive by the power of the grace of God in the gospel. This is a representation of one who has already surrendered their life to Jesus. So this one who has given their life to Christ is called from Scripture to portray or to illustrate this transformation through baptism. And Romans 6 really helps us see this. If you want to turn in your Bible just a little bit to the right from Matthew to the book of Romans, Paul gives some helpful insight as to what both takes place in salvation and what is pictured in baptism. In Romans 6, Paul helps us see this, starting in verse 3. Paul says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" Baptism simply means to be immersed. To be immersed. And for those who are immersed into Christ, which is what we see symbolized in water baptism, one who is immersed into Christ as they are dunked under the water, for anyone who does that, they have been immersed into Jesus' death. They are united to Christ. They are united into his death. And this starts with the death of self. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Water baptism is a symbol of being unified with Jesus, expressing that our old self has died. And then in verse 4, Paul gives further helpful explanation. Look at verse 4. "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." When a disciple of Jesus goes into the waters of baptism, it pictures this union with Christ in death, but it also signifies a union with Christ in resurrected life. And this new life begins at new birth and is symbolized in baptism. This new life is an eternal life that never ends. It goes beyond this life here into all of eternity, where you are connected to Jesus in fellowship with him. And Paul goes on to say, look at verses 5 through 7. "For if we have become united with him," that is Jesus, "in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin." See, we are united with Christ. This death of our old self also means we are now dead to the slavery of sin that we once walked in. Thus, one who is being baptized through this action, proclaiming they are now Christ's slave, they belong to Christ, they are no longer slaves to sin, this person lives in newness of Christ's resurrection power. This is good news. This is the good news of the gospel. that provides a way for newness of life to take place, for forgiveness of sins, for reconciliation to God, to no longer be under his condemnation, but to have fellowship with him, to experience eternal life, knowing him and the one whom he sent. Well, we will hear from those who are coming up in a moment. And what we're going to hear is not all that they have done to get their lives in order. That's not what we're going to hear at all. We're going to hear of the great thing that God has done. What they will be boasting in is not all that they have done so that God will accept them, but what God has done in Jesus to transfer them from this slavery to sin into newness of life, unified with Christ under his good rule. And this can only happen because Jesus went to the cross and paid for every one of their sins. And you must understand this evening that this life-transforming grace that we are going to hear testified to, that is going to be both expressed in their testimonies and on display in their obedience and baptism, is available to anyone who would believe. Anyone who would repent and turn to Jesus Christ, you can find forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. You can find freedom from slavery to sin and be reconciled to God through his son Jesus, even this evening. And that would be our sincere desire if you do not know him yet. And if you do know him already, what a wonderful opportunity to rejoice and hear yet again a testimony of God's salvific work in those who are his. And what a work that is. What greater miracle could we ever desire to see than one who is spiritually dead brought into newness of life? Eternal destiny transformed from being under God's holy righteous wrath to reconciled to him, at peace with God through the blood of Jesus. What a wonderful testimonies of God's grace in the lives of these dear friends and precious saints, and what a privilege that we get to enjoy these things together. And we are going to continue in our evening together as we rejoice in membership together, the initiation of formal church membership at Gilbert Bible Church. And so this is not only our first formal baptism service, but we also get to enjoy membership together at Gilbert Bible Church. And this evening is really the launching of both of those things for us, baptism service and particularly membership. And what a joy to see that all that God has been doing in this church, even if in its brief history. What a blessing. It's really been more encouraging, quite honestly, than I possibly could have imagined or hoped for, to be a part of this endeavor together, one with another, in the launching of Gilbert Bible Church. And as we continue to talk about church membership, I'd like you to look at Romans 12 with me. So if you turn in your Bible to the book of Romans, Romans 12. Romans chapter 12 is the outworking of the gospel in the Christian's life. In the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, Paul has really put forth the most comprehensive explanation of the gospel in all of Scripture. And in chapter 12, a transition takes place to the practical outworking of the gospel in the believer's life. And Paul begins with the believer offering themselves, that in light of the mercies of God, by those mercies that he's just expressed in a detailed explanation of the gospel, the believer is to offer themselves as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. And the believer is to be separated from the world in actions, not necessarily in proximity. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We go out into the world and we proclaim the goodness of Christ, but we are not to be conformed into the pattern of the world. We are not to be squeezed into the mold of the world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is the call for every believer in light of the mercies of God and under the mercies of God, by the mercies of God. And this requires the believer to think with humility, as we've looked at and seen in the book of Philippians in chapter 2. But it also begins with us thinking rightly about those who have also, in addition to us, been saved by the gospel and brought into a local assembly. To think rightly about the reality that we are in Christ, and as such, we are connected to his body and thus also members one with another. Look with me at verse 3, and we're going to read all the way down through verse 13, and we're going to see what it is like from Scripture to be together as God intends in the body of Christ. So starting in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says this, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, or he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." This is what the grace of God produces lived out. This is what the work of God in the gospel does in the life of a believer. The grace of God does not only reconcile us with Christ, but it reconciles us one to another. Just like physical parts of a body are connected and attached to one another, so we too, as the body of Christ, are connected one to another. There is an interdependent relationship with each other in the body of Christ. No part of your body does as well if another part is removed. Likewise, we are dependent upon one another. And in Romans 12, we see these commands in rapid succession, these real-life commands that help demonstrate and show us what life as part of the church, as part of Christ's body, is to look like. Not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, exercising gifts, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, showing mercy, loving, pursuing what is good, fleeing evil, being devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, contributing to needs, practicing hospitality. You see, we're not to be simply connected to one another by a number of ideas, but we are to be connected to one another practically and relationally. We are to be connected like a family or like the body is connected. The church is designed by God where individual believers exercise gifts God has given them for the benefit of the whole, for others in that church to be blessed by and to be built up in Christ. Within the church, individual believers are connected with one another in such a way that they live out practically the love of Christ that they have received from Jesus. And obedience to this kind of living is tangible expressions of the power of the gospel to transform a life and is a demonstration of the grace of God as it is lived out in obedience and faithfulness. This life that is to be lived under the grace of God is intended to be lived not alone, not independent of others, but it is to be lived alongside of other believers. In that interdependent relationship that God calls the church under the lordship of Christ Jesus. Well, this evening we get to launch or initiate official membership at Gilbert Bible Church. And as we do this, it's important to understand that the membership process at Gilbert Bible Church is simply a tool for us to live out faithfully and with intentionality what the New Testament portrays as an intentional commitment to a local body of believers. Nowhere in the New Testament do you find anything of a Lone Ranger Christian that lives the life of a Christian out on their own outside of intentional connection with other believers in a local assembly. It simply is not there. The Christian life is to be vitally connected with a body of those in Christ in a biblical local church. In fact, of the near 120 times that church comes up in the New Testament, almost all of those are a technical reference to a local body of believers in Jesus Christ, where its members are known and are committed to fellowship one with another. And in fact, much of the commands of the New Testament are predicated upon the reality of an intentional commitment to a local assembly. To separate oneself from a local body, it puts direct inhibitors on a Christian's ability to be obedient to all that Jesus commands in the New Testament for those who follow him. That's a sobering reality. And so at Gilbert Bible Church, a formal membership process is being used, we intend for it to be used as a tool allowing us to accomplish some of those New Testament principles that we see expressed in practice. So those who are moving forward with membership, who we will have come forward in a few moments, and those who have come over to Gilbert Bible Church from Grace Bible Church as part of the church plant, we have a number of members who were members at Grace Bible Church who are having their membership transfer to Gilbert Bible Church, and we are having a number who are becoming members for the first time, which is wonderful. We're going to have those who are becoming members for the first time come forward, and those who are coming over from Grace, you can stay where you are. And in a moment, we're going to stand in solidarity with one another, and we're going to recite our church covenant. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the membership process at Gilbert Bible Church. Those who are moving forward have gone through a multi-week class to learn about the doctrine of Gilbert Bible Church, as well as our philosophy of ministry and other practices within the church. They've learned about how we function and how we interact with one another and what ministry looks like. We also get to interview those candidates for membership. One of the elders sits with each candidate, and in these interviews, we talk through a number of things, including the opportunity to hear their testimony. Because we want to hear a credible testimony of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who are becoming formal members. We want to hear how God has saved them through the gospel. New Testament membership or connection in a local church is what we call a regenerative membership. That is where the church is composed not simply of those who attend a service, but of those who actually believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as the only means of reconciliation through his death and resurrection. And so as we hear these testimonies of those desiring to move forward with membership, it's an opportunity for those going forward with membership to not only affirm a desire to be under the doctrine and oversight of Gilbert Bible Church that's taught here, but it's also an opportunity to give testimony and to attest to the reality of the faith that they have experienced in Jesus Christ and that faith realized in their life. Well, what that does for members at Gilbert Bible Church as we think about this launch of membership is there's a clear unity around being under the doctrine of Gilbert Bible Church. There's a unity under the common profession of faith in Jesus Christ, genuine belief and transformation by the gospel. And the other thing that happens in a membership class is we discover where people have come from and what's kind of led them here, and we discover how they might want to serve in the body and how they want to be engaged, and we encourage people to be a part of fellowship groups within Gilbert Bible Church. And as you'll see, the people who'll be coming forward for membership, they're already and have been serving in significant ways in the church, and this is truly a gift and wonderful. Those who are coming forward have jumped in and are vitally connected to the body at Gilbert Bible Church. And if you're not becoming a formal member of Gilbert Bible Church and Gilbert Bible Church is your home, first and foremost, we want you to know we are so, so thankful that you are here and that you are a part of Gilbert Bible Church. We truly are glad that you are here and connected to us in a part of Gilbert Bible Church. And I want to encourage you, if you have not taken the membership class this round, to take the next membership class. We're planning to hold another class, Lord willing, in the spring, and you can actually signify your desire to participate in that class through the digital connection card, or you can email myself or Tom and just let us know that you're interested in that. And that'll help let us know that you're interested when we come around to registration for that class. And taking the class doesn't make you a member nor commit you to absolutely becoming one. That's not our intention. Taking the class gives you the opportunity, along with the elders, to determine if membership at Gilbert Bible Church is the right thing for you. And we certainly understand that every single individual is not in the same place at every moment. And while membership at a specific time may be appropriate for some, it may not be appropriate for others. And we understand that. Well, before we ask those who are becoming members of Gilbert Bible Church to come up before us, in a moment we're going to have those who are becoming new members and those who are transferring their membership from Grace Bible Church, we're going to ask them to stand, as I said before, as an expression of solidarity, and we're going to recite our church covenant together. A covenant is simply an agreement or a promise or a pledge that we covenant to together. We agree to this together, and we've taken the same covenant that we know and love from Grace Bible Church and adjusted it for Gilbert Bible Church. And in this covenant, we're not seeking to agree or to promise more than what Scripture calls the believer to be or do. In fact, we're seeking to be obedient to Scripture in our participation and fellowship with one another in the church. And so each point and each line in our church covenant is derived directly from biblical passages reflecting the biblical principles that are found within for the believer in New Testament church connected with one another. So at this time, I'd like to invite those becoming new members, that is, those who were not already members of Grace Bible Church, to come up to the front. So I'm going to read your name, and when I read your name, you can just line up in front of the stage here. We'll start with Carly and Andrew Baghigh.